And thank you, all of you, for joining us today. You get to be here and join us and walk along inside this message series called Ephesians. And here's what we're doing as a church, as a group of people, right here in person, those online. What we're doing together is we're reading through this letter called Ephesians. It's written by this guy named Paul, who had this encounter with the resurrected Jesus. It changed everything in his life. He starts new churches, and now he's writing a letter that actually goes out to a variety of churches. There's a whole group of churches with different backgrounds and different cultural things and all of that, and he's writing to them. And what do you write to these different churches to know that we're all part of this bigger whole, that something bigger than just us? And here we have it. We have this letter, and we've been reading this along together, and I continue to encourage you to read this letter throughout the weeks as we are doing this message series. If you want to take one chapter at a time, great. You want to read it all the way through, outstanding, right? But we're going to be doing this together to see what God is up to, right? What's his big plan? That's where we started with this in week one. Mark gave his reflection on chapter one, and like, this is God's plan, that you and I are all included in his plan, even before we were even here, right? He even existed. God had this plan to do something, and that plan was to make a new people. That's what we talked about last week, making this new people, which is crazy when you think about it. It's not just a certain religious group of people that have a cultural background all their own that's separated from everything else. I'm talking about the Jewish people, the Israelites. But they were to bring that out to everyone else, to bring God's blessing and promise to all the peoples, and that they kind of withered away from that. And so how do we get this moving forward? What Jesus, God was giving us Jesus, doing something for us that we could not do for ourselves, and creating this whole group of people here together. And today we're going to be looking at chapter 3. Of Ephesians. These first three chapters are one whole, and you have to understand this first three chapters for the next three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, to make any sense. If we miss what's happening in the first set, the first half of this letter, the rest is going to get misconstrued really easily. We're going to get focused on just individual practice and what really is end up going to be dividing people rather than what's actually bringing them together to live in a practical way as a whole group of people, a new people that God is creating through Jesus. So let's review a little bit. In fact, that's exactly what Paul does when he starts chapter 3. In verse 6, he shows us what the plan is. Once again, he's going to state it. He spent two chapters talking about it. Now he's going to restate it. And I always love it when the Bible is really explicit, right? This is what it is. This is the plan. Listen, pay attention. And that's exactly what he does there in verse 6 of chapter 3. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. So remember, if we looking at God's plan, his plan was to bring all people together, but then to create a new people, right? A new thing out of that. And it was founded on their trust in Jesus. The thing that Jesus did that we as human beings couldn't just do for ourselves was to bring us all together. That to lay down his life, to offer life to one another. And that's good news for us, now that we can be a part of this new people, a partnership with God and a collaboration with each other, even though we come from a variety of backgrounds. Now, we can stop and think about just here in this space, right? You can look around at the people around you, like, oh, okay, it's not just about me, it's about us here, but it actually expands globally, and people that don't look anything like you or me and eat things that are different than you, than me, and have cultural practices that are very different than you and me, and God's bringing us all together on this one thing, the foundation of who Jesus is and our trust in that life and the power that comes from him. That's what joins us all together as one people. Now, we're going to get to how we work that out and live that out later on, but right now, we're focusing on that's the plan. But have you ever stopped to think about, that's a great plan, I can understand the plan, but what's the purpose of the plan? What's the plan's point, right? What's the purpose of laying out this plan, God? Well, guess what? We get to see that. As this guy named Paul sits and reflects on his scriptures and what God has been doing and telling his people that he's been doing, and then taking that with how Jesus understands it and how Jesus gives us a view of who God is, he's like, well, then here's the purpose. Would you like to see the purpose? Verse 10 tells us exactly what the purpose is. God's purpose in all of this, that's all of the stuff that Paul's been talking about, right? God's purpose in all this was to use the church, this new group of people, this new people, this church, to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. I'm going to pause right there, okay? I'm going to pause right there because that gave me time to sit and reflect on something here. I had to reflect on this. What is actually the purpose here? What is this purpose that God is wanting to do? Like if I just stop and think about the plan and I can kind of come up with a purpose, oh, so we can live better with one another and maybe we can show other people a different way to live or something like that. Like, yeah, that's part of it. But this just blows it up into like cosmic level proportions. This was to take this new people and look at them as like God's wisdom of bringing a variety of people together in Jesus and put them on display as his good wisdom. And this is a display. The display for all the world to see, yeah, but even more than that, for all of heaven to see. All of heaven can see God's good wisdom in what he's doing by bringing all of us into this new people through our trust in what Jesus has done. That blows my mind. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, I had to stop and think about this. What is going on here? Because I know this place, right? This physical place. We've got earthly people, right? We got human beings, but that other place, this other atmosphere, this place where it's the heavenly realm and there's heavenly beings there, there's spiritual beings there, like that's just not always part of my daily life and thinking in that way. And yet that's exactly where Paul goes with this. We're not just on display as a group of new people worldwide for all the world to see, but for all of heaven to see. And in that heavenly realm, in that spiritual realm, there are spiritual beings that are in partnership with God, ruling with God, and like a council. And you can see through Scripture, I'm not going to go through all of them, but you can see through Scripture of how God is saying, hey, let's do this together. And what do you think about this? Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that. Throughout Scripture, we see that in the heavenly places. In the spiritual realm of things. And so we're on display and they're celebrating what God is doing, that we become this new people. But there's also a whole spiritual group, a spiritual beings that are like, nope, that's not what we want. We're actually going to undermine what God is doing. We're going to get these human beings to just do things on their own and not partner with God and try to rule over one another. We're going to do that from the behind-the-scenes places. And I'm just going to let you know, this thing in chapter 3, it's going to come back up again throughout the letter, especially at the end in chapter 6, okay? So again, we have got to get our mindset around this, that you and I are on display as God's great wisdom as we become this new people in our trust in Jesus, and not just for whole of the world to see, but all of heaven to see and to witness. Now, as I reflect on this, I want to read that one more time so that we can get this kind of in our brain. Here's the purpose, verse 10, one more time. God's purpose in all this was to use the church, this new group of people, to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because of this, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Now, I'll be honest with you, that little exchange there, coming into God's presence with confidence and boldness, and then he makes this switch of like, so don't worry about me and my circumstance and the trials that I'm in. Like, that's just a weird switch in my brain. And then as I stopped and thought about it some more and trying to get the context that it's in, I'm like, oh my goodness, this makes perfect sense. It actually makes really good sense. But what God has done gives us a way to access his very presence. Is that not in a heavenly place? If we're on display for all the world to see, but also heaven to see, now we have this access to that heavenly place that we can come in confidently and boldly into God's very presence as a group of people. Now, I know exactly what you're thinking because I did the same thing. I'm like, oh, I can come confidently and boldly into God's presence. Sure. But remember, and this is the thing we're going to have to fight with throughout this whole letter, is he's talking about this new people, this new group that he calls the church. Like this new thing that God is doing, it's us. We get to come confidently and boldly into God's presence. Confidently and boldly. Why might we need confidence? Why might we need to focus on being bold? Well, it's actually really connected to Paul's circumstances, the things that he's talking about, his trials that he's going through. He's writing this letter while he's sitting in a Roman prison. And in a Roman prison, it's not like what you think for us today. I mean, it's awful today anyway, but like if you're going to eat, someone needs to bring you food. If you're going to have a blanket to keep warm at night, someone needs to bring that to you. They're not going to supply that for you. In fact, the guard that's there is not concerned about your well-being or your health. They're just concerned that you don't get out. That's their only point. You die in prison? Eh. But they just don't want you to leave. And let's just put that into context. Here's this leader of these churches that he's writing a letter to, and he's in prison. That might make them feel like they're not so confident in that association anymore. Right? If they've put him in prison, what's stopping this government from putting us into prison? Maybe we shouldn't be as bold in the way that we're talking about Jesus and inviting other people into this new people. Maybe we should tone it down a bit. Well, that's exactly what the disciples did with Jesus, isn't it? And he gets arrested. And he gets put on trial, and he gets executed. They run away, they deny knowing him, and they hide up in a little room all together and lock the door. For Paul, he's saying, I know that you're going to feel like you want to disassociate with me. You're going to not feel so confident in maybe proclaiming this new people that people can be a part of. You want to be less bold, but I'm telling you, if you're in God's presence, no matter what happens to me, what happens to you, you can still have this confidence and this boldness to go out as a group of people. Don't let the circumstances overrule this great new thing you get to be a part of, God's very life. All right? So that's my reflection on this. It makes a better connection, at least in my brain, of how we as a group of people, we can be confident and we can bold as we are, be bold because we're in God's presence together. It's not just singling one out. I know our brains always do that, just thinking about yourself, but you're part of a bigger whole, a new group of people. And when bad things start happening to these good people that are living this new life, you might want to go like, I'm going to distance myself. I'm going to hide a little bit. And yet Paul says, go together and be bold. You're in God's very presence. Now, that might scare you. It might scare you and think like, what do you do next? How do we approach this? What should we be doing? What should we be focusing in on then? Right? As a group of people that are in God's presence, yet there's this world around us that might want to single us out and lock us away or ridicule us or cause us to not be so confident or not so bold. What steps should we take? Right? Personally, that's what I wanted to know as I was reflecting on this. Where do I go next with this thing? Right? What should I do? And if we're going confidently and boldly into God's presence, what does that sound like? To me, what that sounds like is that's a spiritual, prayerful act. Right? There's some prayer thing that's connected with this. And lo and behold, Paul is going to do just that. In verse 16 and following, he's going to give a prayer. And he's going to pray for certain things. And I'm gonna unpack this, but one thing I want us to know is that as he's praying as an individual, he's praying actually for the group as a whole, right? And again, in our brains, when we hear certain words like you, we're going to think me. But it's not me. It's not you as in me. It's you as in we, okay? That's where we have to think about this. And it's going to be hard, and you're going to see what I mean when I read through this, okay? So Ephesians chapter 3, starting verse 16, this is Paul praying, and this is his prayer. I pray that from his, God's glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Okay, we're going to pause here because I want to make sure we're on the same page. Right now, you're thinking about how you get to experience this as an individual, right? That you will have Jesus making this home in your own heart, that your personal roots will grow down. And that's true, but remember you're part of something bigger. And so when we think about this, we need to think bigger picture than just myself on this piece of it, okay? Now, from God's glorious, unlimited resources, why might that be important to this group of people? Think about Paul being in prison. What resources does he have? It seems pretty scarce. There's not much there. These people may have lost their jobs or their income or their community because they're starting to trust in Jesus and live in a new way. And their resources may be starting to get cut off. They're living this life of scarcity, but oh, if we come boldly and confidently into God's presence, guess what we have access to? His glorious, unlimited resources. Unlimited. Unlimited resources to do what? Because when I started thinking about them, like resources, okay, so money and food and clothing and all of that kind of stuff. And yet, the thing that Paul talks about is not those types of things. It's unlimited resources that will strengthen us from the inside. What resources do we have access to that give us this inner strength of God's Spirit within us? It is that. It's God's very Spirit. And as we are coming boldly and confidently into God's presence, praying for his unlimited resources for all of us to grow stronger in his in our inner strength through his Spirit, what happens? Jesus makes a home in our collective hearts. Now, think about this for a second, right? I had to pause. Because it's weird. You know, if I talk to a kid about this, like, oh, Jesus comes and lives in your heart, they're like, does he miniaturize himself? Like Ant-Man, and he goes into my heart? What does that look like, right? And we get it. It's a metaphor, right? It's a metaphor, but think about the metaphor. There's a big difference to having a house and having a home, isn't there? If it's the same building, but going from a house, just this piece of property that I own, that like I'm kind of detached from, to now making this home, it's making it your own, isn't it? And if that's the case in our life, Jesus making a home in our heart, he makes our very hearts his own. The way that he's going to decorate our hearts in the way that we think, in the way that we deal with our emotions, and the way that we make decisions and we have our these desires, like the different writings and sayings and pictures he puts on the walls. Those are his own things. The way that he's going to rearrange the furniture in our hearts, it makes it his own. It becomes starting to be a reflection of his own personality. It looks like we think it would look if Jesus lived there. Now, of course, hearts is a metaphor too. We've spent some time on that as a place where we think and make decisions and our desires are from and emotions are from, right? So we get that. But if Jesus is making that place where we do all of that his very own, what happens? Oh, enter in a new metaphor. Thank you, Paul, for switching metaphors on us mid-sentence. Now that we become a tree that has these roots that grow down deeper into the soil and become stronger as they gain those nutrients from that soil. It can't be uprooted. No matter what is going on outside of this new community, being a part of this new community that comes boldly into God's presence and confidently in his presence, all right, now we get to be part of this unlimited resources, make us strong, all of us, inside, right? Our inner strength, because Jesus has made our hearts his very own, and that causes our roots to grow down. This concept we have got to get if we're going to make any sense of the rest of the letter, right? We've got to wrap our mind around that. And it's not just you personally, it's you as a whole. Okay, let's continue on the prayer. So we got the first part. Now verse 18. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. God, he wants us all to have the power to understand the measurement of God's love. How does that happen if it's just by yourself? Oh, God loves me so much. He's done this so for me. Spend this little quiet time together and so nice. I flipped open my Bible and it spoke right just to me. Great. Those are good things, right? But you'll never see how wide and how long and how high and how deep God's love really is if you're not surrounded by a bunch of people that God loves and brought together and they're completely different than you. How much God loves them and how much God loves you. There's that equality piece where we started, right? We all share in that same blessing. And if we can wrap our minds around that, it's not just about your way of going about living in Jesus, but opening it up to how other people that are very different than you know and love and are loved by God. Now, that may make you a little uneasy, right? Like, well, I don't know, they think really different than I do. What does that open up? Oh, I don't know, right? Remember, your foundation, all of our foundation is in our trust in the way Jesus has lived and invited us to live. It's way that Jesus gives us this image of who God is. That's what brings us together, even though that applies to a variety of different cultures and different backgrounds and different family groups and way they raised up, right? So if we can start seeing the expansion of how much God loves all of us, wow, that would be amazing. And that's what he prays, that we have the power, we all end up having the power to see how much God really loves us. Now, we want to understand that, but I also like to experience something, right? That's where he goes next with this in verse 19. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Like, I feel like Paul's talking out of two sides of his mouth here, right? I want you to have the power to understand God's love and experience how much Jesus loves you, but you can't understand it fully. Like, what? Then why try? Like, what? Thanks a lot, Paul. I'm confused now. Just stop and just meditate on this. Like there's this we got to keep working at it and keep trying to understand it. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you all will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Not just you as an individual, but us as a whole, outside of these walls even, right? That we get to be a part of that. We get to experience Christ's love, even if we can't understand all of it. Like, why would he love those people? I don't get that. They're not like me. Why would he love me? Because I'm not like them. Right? We can't understand it fully, and yet, if we can experience Christ's love, then we get to experience, well, really this power and life that comes from God. And before we get too far into the rest of the letter of like applying this in a practical way, because for me, I'm thinking about, well, how do I live this out? How do I live it out with people that are very different than me, that think differently than I do, have a different background than I do? And, you know, I think they should be like me, and they think I should be like them. And really, we're like, well, we're all supposed to be like Jesus. Well, what does that look like, right? It's like, how do I practically go about this? Before we get there, because that's where I want to go. That's the next few chapters. I encourage you to read them in preparation for next week. But what we need to do is start with praying together. Praying something that's not just about my own personal need and things like that and just what's going on in my life, but for the whole group of all of us as we do this prayer. And so this is what I'm going to invite you to do this week. Like on a daily basis, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer that Paul has laid out here. In fact, I've rewritten it a bit. I hope that you don't mind. But I just changed a few words so that we could get a better understanding of what he's getting at. The words like you, I changed, right? Because when I read you, I'm thinking, oh, he's talking to me specifically, right? And he's talking to me, but as a part of a group. So here's the way that it looks as I changed it a little bit here. We'll put it up on the screen here. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, God will empower us with inner strength that through his spirit, through his spirit, then Christ will make his home in our hearts as we trust in him. Do you see what it's happening here? Right? I think those little changes help us. Our roots will grow down into God's love and keep us strong. And may we have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May we experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then we will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That's what he's trying to get at. So I hope that it's okay that I altered it a bit. And I give that to you. It's in our notes. You can, I don't know, take a picture of this if you want. I don't know how you want to do that. Or just do that. Read it. It's just Ephesians 16 through 19, but then he ends it this way. Listen to how he ends it. It's so powerful. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen.